Welcome back, everyone, to the Really Real Real Estate Podcast. Episode 195, Bring Out Your Dead! Well, don't really bring out your dead, but today we are talking about the dead, respectively of you, of course. Today on the podcast, we talk about what it means when you are an executor or executrix of an estate and you are tasked with settling the estate of someone who has passed. Additionally, we'll discuss what buyers should take note of when buying an estate. My name is Lou Lombardi. Now, here is the real estate host. You're not a hostess.
I could be a hostess.
You're a host. You're not a, because you would be an executor and not an executrix. Tricks. Isn't it weird that we call the female tricks? Like yes. Silly rabbit.
Yeah,
tricks are for kids. I don't know where that comes from. But anyways, Jason Wilcox is here. He's the one you want to listen to. You don't want to listen to me. What's up, Jason?
Not much. I could be a hostess if I needed to. That's okay. I could be a hostess. But more importantly, here's what I want to know. When you read the title of today's episode, did you immediately think Monty Python or no?
Yeah, of course, Monty Python. But okay, I'm old. I grew up
because I wonder how many people out there are going to read the title, get offended, and be like, "How dare you!" and not realize it's a joke.
I don't think people are going to get offended by the title. Probably, you know, other stuff that we'd say. But
yeah, that's the least offensive of which we say on this podcast. Absolutely. But for those of you who don't know, that is a Monty Python reference. So save your angry tweets and emails for something far more important than that. But yes, we are talking again today, respectfully, about the dead. We are talking about estates, and we are talking about some of the intricacies of what happens when you are an executor or an executrix, and you are tasked with selling an estate or a house that's part of an estate, and that what buyers should maybe be aware of when they are purchasing an estate. I'm not going to lie, most of it's focusing on the seller side and talking about what they need to be aware of when it comes to actually selling an estate, but we'll dive in a little bit towards the end about what buyers should be aware of. And what you'll find is that, for the most part, the art of selling a house that's being sold as an estate isn't that much different, but there are some few key things that change. They're not many, but they are super important. And if they are missed, could cause a great deal of headaches down the road. So shall we dive in on what it means to be an executor? We're an executrix.
Let's dive in. I'm standing on the diving board, the high dive, staring at the deep end, and I'm ready to dive in.
Right, but let's make sure you're diving into the deep end and not the shallow end, because we don't want you to become the dead. And you know, we don't want you to go playing for the other side. Okay, speaking of offensive things we say on this podcast, here we go. Okay. All right. So I think the first question is, what does it mean to settle the estate? Okay. So, and by the way, I should start by saying, as I have said a million times, I am not an attorney, and this podcast should never, ever, ever, ever in a million years be used for legal advice. And you should always contact your local attorney for legal advice. But what essentially it means to settle an estate is this. After someone has passed, their, for lack of a better phrase, I think this is a legal term, stuff needs to be dealt with. And when I say stuff, I mean things like their house, their car, their personal possessions, their bank accounts, their retirement accounts, their savings, their bills, their debts, their business, creditors.
Right, everything. Yep.
All of those things need to be taken care of. And that's what they refer to as settling the estate, or I believe the legal term is probating the estate. And by the way, when you do this, never, ever, 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 ever in a million years go at this alone. Always, always, always hire an estate attorney, because there are too many intricacies. You don't want to try to do this on your own. You need someone that can guide you in the right direction.
Yeah, if you're in the Pittsburgh area, I just have to recommend Peacock Keller.
Yes.
I absolutely have to recommend them. We did not have them. My father had hired somebody else and had that set up through somebody else, and who was a it didn't go well. There was a lot of screw ups, and there's so many things that a great estate planner can like help you avoid and help your loved ones avoid, because you know, because there's always something screw. These guys see, they can, because they deal with it every day, they can see like around corners that you just don't know about. So absolutely. Yeah. Good advice, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically, you know, the job of probating the estate is anything and everything that you can think of goes into probating the estate. It's getting a copy of the will and finding out what their last wishes were. It's making sure that, you know, their final bills are paid off. Any creditors out there that have, that need paid off are taken care of. You know, if they have any monies to their name, you know, if they have, savings account, retirement accounts, you know, things like that, life insurance, you know, all of that gets taken care of. And then after so much time has passed, because I won't lie, this is a long process. I mean, I think I remember Dawn telling me, who's over at Peacock Keller, Dawn Formoso, is that I believe it's at least a year process, because you have to give creditors time to file claims and things of that nature. They have to have time to be able to go out and search different things. So it's quite a long, tedious process. But all those things have to be taken care of. And that's what you're doing. You're addressing all those issues. You're making sure all of that stuff is taken care of, so that when you finalize the estate and you finally close it down, and you know, you hand out the proceeds and the monies to the respective parties that are designated in the will, then from there, you know, you just know that all the issues have been taken care of. It's like when you hire a title company to buy a house, that title company is making sure that it's coming free and clear, so that afterwards you don't have, you know, any issues with the house. That's what the estate attorney is doing on the side of settling the estate.
Okay. And what, want to define these terms, executor, executrix, real quick?
Yes. So executor, as we have mentioned, is the executor, the male executor is the male version, and executrix is the female version. But essentially, that is the person assigned in the will to be the decision maker and the signer of everything involved in the estate. So, like, for example, part of the estate will be selling the house. Well, I have, as a realtor, I have to have someone that's legally allowed to sign those contracts. So the executor, the executrix, is that designated person in the will that's been designated by the deceased as to who's allowed to make those decisions, who has the authority to sign off on behalf of those decisions. And on my end, that's all the listing contracts, the sales contract, et cetera, et cetera. But that's also like who's allowed to sign off, you know, sign checks and, you know, handle, you right. know, monies coming in and out of the estate account. Because as a side note, one of the first things an estate attorney is going to do is open up the estate account, which is a checking account, which is where all that money is going to go. So as the house gets sold, as the car gets sold, as the life insurance policy gets cashed, there's place for that money to go. And essentially, like I said, that's the decision maker. And executor and executrix mean the exact same thing. Executor is the male version and executrix is the female version.
Okay. All right. That's got that. Okay.
Yeah.
So what does a realtor need when listing the home that's part of an estate?
So there's really only one thing that the realtor needs. I actually like to get two things just to be on the safe side. The only thing that I'm aware of that a realtor needs is the short certificate. So the short certificate is the certificate that verifies two things. One, who the executor or the executrix is. So that's the first thing. Okay. I need to see, on paper who that person is. But also what's interesting, and I did not know this for the longest time. And again, Lou, to your point earlier, going back to an estate attorney can peer around the corner and know this is coming up. This is one thing I did not know. It shows that you've been sworn in. Just being named executor or executrix in the will is right. not enough. You actually have to go down to the courthouse
yep.
and you have to be sworn in. And so when you are sworn in by the judge, they present the short certificate. That shows me that you've been sworn in, you've been appointed, and you are officially allowed to, you know, start signing and making the decisions on behalf of the estate. So that's the only thing that a realtor really needs, is because that lets us know who the executor or executrix is. I also request the death certificate only because I know the title company is eventually going to need it. So I get that as well up front too. So they'll need the death certificate to show they have passed.
Up at the end so you don't get hung up. Makes good, smart guy.
Yeah. So, yeah. So those are really the only two things. Pretty straightforward.
So what happens with seller disclosure now that you're dealing with somebody, you know, who's passed away and you're dealing with an executor or executrix? Like, how does that work?
Right. So again, I'll say, not an attorney. Don't play one on TV. So I will just tell you the facts. The fact is this. If you read the seller disclosure in the state of Pennsylvania, it says that there are a series of exemptions from the seller disclosure. Those exemptions, those exclusions include executors and executrixes. And so essentially, they are exempt. They don't have to fill out the seller disclosure, mainly because most executors and most executrixes have not lived in the house, and there's no way for them to warrant anything about the house. And so literally, what they have a legal right to do is just draw a line through each page, and this will often be done, and it's totally blank. However, there's also a paragraph somewhere at the bottom, I think of the first page, that says anybody filling out this seller disclosure that has any knowledge of any material defects or things that they know about the property should be disclosed. Now, what that tells me is this. Yeah, if I'm buying a foreclosure and I've got an asset manager somewhere in Missouri that's been assigned to this property in Pennsylvania because it's through PNC Bank or, you know, Wells Fargo, which is, you know, both are huge conglomerates, then yeah, that person's not going to know anything. It's going to be totally blank. They're going to be signed off and they're going to, you know, just be done with it. However, the challenge with being an executor and executrix is this. You're kind of in that gray area. Hmm. I'll use myself as an example. Heaven forbid, God forbid, that day my parents pass. I'm very fortunate that at the age of 36, I still have both of my parents. I have not lived in my house for 20 years. I haven't lived there since I lived there for a short stint after college for a couple of months. But prior to that, I haven't lived in the house since 18. So I've not lived there for almost 20 years. So I don't know the ins and outs. However, I do know a couple things. Okay. I do know a couple things. I remember the debacle my parents went through when they got the new roof put on. I remember them telling the roofer, who, by the way, was not Easy Home Exteriors, who we've had on the podcast before, because this is before I met them. You know, I remember my parents telling them to not step in a certain place because there was a soft spot, and then the roofer stepped there, and then he put his foot through the roof, and they had to get it patched. And then when they were replacing the roof, they found there was a leak that ran water behind the wall in the kitchen, so they had to remove all the cabinetry down, only to find a bunch of black mold. They'd have mold medics come in and take care of all that, and that's all been addressed. I'm aware of those couple of things. I don't know about the intimate details of every little thing. I remember when my parents had wall anchors that were installed a couple of years ago. They had a French drain that was installed. I remember those things because I still talk to my parents. I still love my parents. I still, you know, interact with them. I see them on a weekly basis. So I'm in that gray area of, I've not lived there, but I'm aware of these things. And, you know, the right thing, the ethical thing, the moral thing to do is, let's disclose this stuff because I know about it. You know, I may not know the intimate details, but I can go, yeah, there's wall anchors down in my parents' basement. Actually, it's carbon fiber straps. You know, I know there's a French drain, an internal French drain. I know these things. Right. So I know about them. I need to disclose them, even though I haven't lived there in 20 years. And when it comes to filling out the seller disclosure, you're going to have both of those. I have one right now I have two that are actually coming up on the market that are both estates. I have one where the executrix is the daughter. And she lived in the house for the last couple of years because she was his primary caretaker because he was older. So she's lived there. She's going to have a little bit of knowledge about that property.
Right.
On the other hand, I have a niece that was, that lives out on the West Coast that was assigned to this property because her uncle passed and he had no other family. So he left the house to the niece. She doesn't know jackdiddly shit about the house other than a couple of things that she noticed when she was in there for a week or two cleaning it out. So those are two very opposite ends of the spectrum here as far as what they know about the property. So legally it says they're exempt, but it also says if they know anything, they should disclose it. What my stance has always been is my broker stance, which is we take the advice of the attorney. So we just tell the executor or executrix, we say, Mr. Executor, Miss Executrix, please go talk to the attorney and fill it out based on their recommendation.
Okay. Okay. All right. Pass the buck. No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly.
So what should buyers be aware of then? I mean, you know, you're going to have as much of a seller disclosure, you know, it could vary, you know, with the seller disclosure, okay, depending
right.
on how intimate the person who's the executor was involved with the situation.
Right.
So what then should the buyers kind of be concerned about or aware of or be checking on?
So there's one big thing I want to talk about. Before we do that, I want to put out two disclaimers. Buyers, do not ask me if the deceased died in the home. Do not. I don't ask. I don't know. I frankly don't care. It's none of my business. Don't ask me if the deceased died in the house. If that's a concern to you, build new construction, because there's no guarantee that you're buying a house. I bought a house that was built in the 40s. I'm pretty sure there's like seven families that have lived in this house since us. I'm sure somebody died in the house. I'm just sure of it at some point. I don't know. I don't ask. It's not appropriate. It's none of my business. So don't ask. Also, please don't ask me how long the house has been vacant, because we don't know that either. Even if you look up the obituary and see, oh, so-and-so passed away on November 22nd and it's March 5th, you don't know that. You right. don't know that. You don't know if they were in, you know, a long-term facility before that. You don't know if maybe they had a three-week stay at the hospital. You don't know if family from out of town was staying in the house. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. And again, I'm not going to ask because it's not appropriate and it's none of our business. You just don't know. So don't ask, because I'm not going to ask.
The grandpa croak here?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So with that said, what you really need to know is this. From the buyer's perspective, there's really not much that has changed. There's really not much that has varied from
exactly
buying a regular house. What I will tell you is now is not the time to waive the inspections.
Okay.
Do not waive the inspections. Every once in a blue moon, I've had this happen once or twice. It doesn't happen often, but every once in a blue moon, I will have a seller who will get a pre-inspection just to offer some information about the property. But most of the time they won't, especially in a seller's market. There's no need to. The house will sell quickly if it's priced the right way. Do not waive your inspections. Get someone in there that can make sure that they've looked at the house and that there's no glaring issues that you might have missed because you're not a home inspector and you don't buy a house every day. And that you need to maybe address or have taken care of. Remember, home inspection is the time to address any issues that are safety concerns, not cosmetic issues. Well, I don't care about if you don't like the azaleas in the front yard. Only safety concerns, and only safety concerns that weren't already disclosed to you on the seller disclosure. Mm-hmm. If the seller says the roof is 25 years old on the seller disclosure, you're making an offer based on the fact that the roof is 25 right. years old. If the seller disclosure is blank because the executor or executrix was told by their attorney not to fill it out, or they just frankly don't know anything because they never lived there, or they live in a different state, then, you know, pretty much anything safety concern wise is fair to negotiate. So get those home inspections. Do not waive them. Get that for your own safety and your own protection, even if just so you know what's going on with the house and you can be aware of things to address, you know, before they become a problem after you become the legal owner of the property.
Okay. What should executors and executrixes be aware of when selling an estate?
Yeah. So the first thing is, and I know we said it and we've probably said it 16 times throughout this podcast episode, but I'll say it again, use an estate attorney. You have to. There's just too much that goes into this, and there's too many legal things, which we're going to talk about here in a second, that you need an estate attorney to make sure they do it the right way. The second thing is, and this is something that I always like to address prior to closing, because I think there are some people that are confused by this. When you sell a house, the proceeds are always made to the seller. In this case, the proceeds are made to the estate, not you as the executor or executrix. What does that mean? That means at closing, the proceeds that are remaining are going to be in the name of the estate. You as the executor or executrix are then going to be able to deposit that money into the estate account, or you can have it just directly wired into the estate account. But the monies go to the estate, not you. When you have sold a house, my job is done. The attorney's isn't. You still don't see that money until the estate has been finalized. Now, I can tell you that for most of the estates I work on, by the time I come in, I'm usually towards the end. Not always, but I'm usually the house is the last big thing. First thing you're doing is open up the estate account. Second thing you're doing is, selling the car and things like that, and collecting the monies from the different accounts and life insurance policies, partridge in a pear tree. The next is you're getting the house cleaned out. You're having the estate sale as far as selling the stuff in the house. And so usually the last big thing is to settle the estate. But again, time-wise, you don't know how long it's going to be. So there, it may be several months to a year before you see that money or before the monies get doled out to the heirs and beneficiaries. That is where you will have to talk to your attorney about when you're actually going to see the money. So have that conversation with them. Thirdly, and probably most importantly, because I find no disrespect out there to the ones who do a great job, but the one thing estate attorneys usually do not advise their clients on, and so I have to usually when they're angry because no one told them, is you have to pay inheritance tax on the estate. Period. End of story. That is the law. If you don't like it, don't yell at me. Yell at the IRS. You have to pay inheritance tax. That's one of the things that your estate attorney is going to do for you. They are going to help you make sure that the proper inheritance tax gets paid on the estate. And my understanding is it's a different percentage based on your relationship to the deceased. With that said, inheritance taxes not being paid on the house, the estate, the house are lienable. What every title company is going to do, period, end of story, is escrow certain amounts of money out of the proceeds of the house to hold in escrow. What does that mean? That means the title company is holding back so much money out of the proceeds to ensure that the inheritance tax gets paid. Once the inheritance tax gets paid, they don't keep that money. They return it to you just at a later date. But they don't do it until they have proof that it's paid. Because if they don't get proof that it's paid, they're going to pay it for you and they don't want to get caught with their pants down. That's why they hold money. What I'm telling you is this: do not get angry with the title company. Every title company holds a certain percentage of proceeds in escrow until they get proof from the estate attorney the inheritance tax has paid off. An estate attorney worth their lick of salt is going to know this. Hopefully they're telling you. If not, I will tell you. But at the end of the day, you need to make sure that you are aware of that. And again, I know that the amount of money that's held in escrow by the title company is based on the relationship to the deceased. And so I'm assuming that's what it means, inheritance tax-wise. But again, I don't know that. I'm just speculating based on what I've heard. So check with your attorney on that one. But do not get mad at me because that will be something that comes up at the closing table. And you will see on your settlement statement that you review prior to closing.
All right. And so it looks like we covered the main points here. Is there any thing you'd like to add before we wrap up, Jason?
Nope. Like I said, the final thought is this. There is, when it comes to selling a house on the estate side, it's pretty much the same process with a few key differences. So again, just have a really good estate attorney in your corner, have a great realtor by the name of Jason Wilcox in your corner. You have those two things, you're going to be fine because otherwise the process is pretty much the same. As long as you take care of those few key differences, you'll be good to go and it should be smooth sailing. And buyers, just beware. There's probably not a lot of information about the property. It's not that they're doing anything, it's just they don't know depending on what their relationship was to the deceased. But otherwise, if everyone does their due diligence, it should still be a very smooth, seamless transaction.
Excellent. Excellent. And Jason is going to be your attorney for whether you have a dealing with an estate, purchasing an estate, selling it.
Realtor, not attorney. Realtor, not attorney.
Sorry, sorry.
I just foresee changed, myself. Being I just sued changed. In like I 10 just. Years.
This is the really real attorney show.
I just see myself getting sued in like 15 years, and then the attorney using that one sound. But here, like, let's play this 10-second clip out of the 100 hours of podcasts we have.
You're fine. You're fine. But thank you for correcting that. Jason is standing by to be your attorney. No, I was kidding. It's a joke. Relax. Everybody take a breath. Take a breath. Whew. All right. Jason is standing by to be your real estate representative, your real estate advisor, whether you're purchasing an estate, selling an estate, whatever you're doing, he's the man who's going to take you through the process along with your attorney. And your accountant. I found out, too, my accountant also became my best friend when I had to go through an estate situation a couple of years ago, too. So you have a great accountant, great attorney, great real estate agent. I mean, it's a, you know, you're ready to go. You got the triple threat right there. So part of that triple threat is going to be Jason. You can reach out to Jason at 412-651-4638, or you can email Jason at jason.wilcox@pittsburghmoves.com. Guys, don't make any moves out there with real estate, whatever you're doing, without a great real estate advisor. So please hit Jason up. My name is Lou Lombardi. Once again, thank you so much for hanging out with us, and we'll catch everybody on the next Really Real Real Estate Podcast.